Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Melanated Moments in Classical Music. I'm Joshua Thompson.
And I'm Angela Brown.
So, on the last episode, we introduced you all to the amazing opera Margaret Garner, composed by Richard Danielpour. And today we're going to keep that rolling with Mr. Richard. But on this episode, we're going to take you inside the creative process, which is somewhat a little bit different, right? Because the song cycle we're going to discuss was written for Miss Angela Brown here. So, Angela, how did you come about to do that?
You know, anyone that knows me knows that I'm not a shrinking violet. So I remember Richard and I had struck up a rapport with one another, and I just off the cuff one day, and this is serious, off the cuff one day, I just said, "Hey, Richard, have you ever thought about maybe writing a song cycle and writing it for me?"
Right. So my mom said, it is a pitiful dog that will not wag its own tail.
Well,
if
okay.
you don't bark, you don't get fed. All those things.
So I'm at and you. So then he said, let me think about that. And so he did. And then we set up an appointment and we went to a restaurant right across the street from the Metropolitan Opera in New York City. And we were sitting there in a booth that he evidently later on told me that it was the same booth. I can't remember the name of the restaurant now. I think it was Josephine's or something like that. I'm not sure. Don't quote me.
We won't fact check
that.
You're fine.
Yeah, don't
You're
fact
fine.
Check that. Okay. But he said, this is the same booth that I sat in with Toni Morrison.
Wow.
And I wanted to talk in this same booth with you about this probable song cycle. So he said, so who do you want to do the libretto? And I was like, oh, Maya Angelou. I was like, if I have a choice. I was like, we've already had Toni Morrison. Why not
on.
Maya Angelou?
Get them all in there.
And he says, exactly. That's exactly who I was thinking of.
No
I was
way.
Flabbergasted.
Like, just instantly we're instantly on that same page.
We were on
and
the
on that same
page.
Wow.
And so he talked to Dr. Angelou. Dr. Angelou said, well, I've already written those. And he was like, well, where are they? She said, they're in my collected works. And he set seven of them. And it's called A Woman's Life.
So I was actually able to find an interview where Richard Danielpour tells the story. And obviously, he mentions you and your conversations. But then he goes on to talk about reaching out to Dr. Maya Angelou herself. And it's just fascinating to hear about.
Well, this is an interesting story because I had originally wanted to write something for Angela Brown. And when we got around to talking about text, she, without hesitation, said, oh, if you could set Maya Angelou, that would be fantastic. And I said to her, well, I happen to know Maya Angelou. And in fact, I was planning on paying her a visit. So I went then with this idea. And as I had talked to Angela, the idea of writing a kind of cycle involving a woman's life and dealing with the life cycle, essentially, childhood to old age, like the Schumann cycle, but American. So I went to Dr. Angelou and I brought Kathleen. We talked and I said, would you be interested or willing in writing some poems for me? And she said, I have them, my dear. I have them. They're already done. And so she had one of her assistants produce a copy of her collected poems and put the book on a little stand, and holding our hands at her dining room table, she read eight poems. And I have to say, it was one of the greatest performances I have ever witnessed. I'll never forget it.
Just wow. So what I think is so interesting is the way he describes that performance from Maya Angelou, because Maya Angelou performed everywhere.
Yes.
Her kitchen table.
She did.
It doesn't matter. It was a performance. Mm-hmm. To me, I just find that to be unbelievably powerful, and the whole point, not just of this show, but I don't know, my passion and love for
right.
what we do, and yours too, clearly.
And from having that experience, I had the opportunity then to travel to Maya Angelou's home.
So I've
been to Maya Angelou's, honey. She has cooked for me, and I slept in her house. She insisted that me and my mother cancel our hotel arrangements and stay in her home. And I sang these pieces for her in her living room. And she cried and she wept. And she said, "You have gotten butter from a duck today." Meaning she normally does not show a lot of emotion. But she cried that day. She wept and she says, "You are singing my heart. You are singing what I heard and what I felt." And because of Richard's beautiful music, I mean, she was able to experience this. And it was such a great honor.
Well, if the late, great Maya Angelou, would you say butter from a duck?
Butter from a duck.
Okay, well, let's talk about the butter and the duck. Let's get into it. So the song cycle, there are what, seven movements?
There's seven movements.
So it's accessible, right? Mm-hmm. They're short.
Very.
You can listen to them by themselves
it's
or
like
as a whole.
22 minutes.
So a woman's life. Whose life?
It could be any woman's life. And you can see yourself in almost all of them. I often, when I perform these, I normally perform the first four because those are the ones I feel closest to. But as I have begun to matriculate through life and gotten closer to the other half
of the cycle,
I know I'm going to begin to end up singing the incorporate all the pieces.
Okay, so you usually just sing four of the pieces. So tell us about them, starting with the first one. What is it called?
Little Girl Speaking. It's a little girl that's speaking about, it starts off, "Ain't nobody better than my daddy." Then she speaks about her dolly and her mama's cooking. Okay.
And not to touch her doll's
hair. And don't touch your doll's hair.
So that's a little black girl.
Yes,
Because from the beginning of the cycle to the end, don't touch.
And don't.
Our hair.
Exactly.
Don't.
No. And, she's saying, "Ain't nobody better than my daddy." And somebody's trying to give her a quarter. She says, "You keep your quarter. I ain't your daughter. Don't be trying to snatch me up." There's a whole lot going on.
Okay, well, let's hear what it sounds like. Wonderful. It's so precious. So then what's after that?
Life doesn't frighten me at all. I mean, I see this as a young adolescent girl who's probably just lost a tooth and she's got on some dungarees. Now, that's an old...
Yes, it is.
Throwback.
That's all right, though.
Wait, jeans.
Depending on where our listeners are and their cycle, they're going to get it or they can read about it later.
There you go. And she's saying, "Shadows on the wall, noises down the hall. Life doesn't frighten me at all." Right. She just talked about all these different things that are going on in her little compartmentalized life.
There's a line in there that I really love, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's something to the effect of, she's very fearless and she's not afraid of anything.
Exactly.
The only time that you see her scared is in her dreams, which
yes.
I think is just
maybe
phenomenal.
Maybe in her dreams.
It's almost a fake it till you make it, or I'm not going to let you see me sweat. Or
there you go.
Yeah, as we say, we're not sweating them today.
That not today.
None of them.
Lions.
And then there is the one that I don't relate to at all.
I didn't know where you're going
called,
with this.
Called They Went Home.
Give us the quick rundown of, of They Went Home. Yes,
well,
let us know.
They Went Home is, I imagine this a young woman, an ingenue, that's feeling herself, and she's looking for love in all the wrong places and
she's
faces.
Looking for love in every place.
Every place.
In every face.
In every face, and faces that don't belong to her.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. Because I think the first line is, they went home and told their wives.
But who does that, though?
Okay. Who's going... Honey, and she was bold with it.
Yes, she was.
She was bold with it. That never once in all their lives had they met a girl like me, honey.
But
they went home. So, you know, they're finding fancy and wonderment with her for a moment.
So it's like side piece soliloquies. You know?
Yeah.
The tunes of the side piece. Here's my note, to be perfectly honest.
Side piece.
No judgment here whatsoever. Mm-hmm. We didn't write it.
No.
We're just telling it like it is.
Yeah.
And not to bust out business of anyone, but for me, I prefer to remain an entree. You can't get me a la carte, but.
All right.
Okay. But for some folks, you know, they went
home.
They went home.
Mm-hmm. So that's what that piece is about.
I got to be honest with you. I was not all that familiar with the composer and or the set of works that you've picked. However, I've been listening to it a lot over the last couple of days. And with A Woman's Life, that song cycle, there's such a sweet nuance that he teases out of the softer movements.
Oh, yes. And you,
just gorgeous.
You feel the growth,
yeah,
the maturity of a woman as it goes down the cycle. And by time you get down to Many and More, this is a woman that has lived life. She feels good in her skin, and she's just opening up. And she's like, there are many and more who would take my hand, kiss my lips, to my loneliness lend their body's warmth. I'm in need of a friend. She has gotten to the point where she has loved many and lost many. Mm-hmm. And now she's just looking for someone to be with her and hold her hand in the end of life.
Right.
And it's beautiful.
That progression from the beginning, you know, the first couple movements, it's the voice and the orchestra are very much harmonious. But by the time, like you were saying, you're getting to the end of the song cycle, the orchestra really kind of takes a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes so much more, even more so, about how you express the words and the words themselves. You can hear them way more articulately because there's not so much
going on.
Which I think is kind of a nice little musical metaphor for...
Yes.
Life cycles and seasons and all that.
You calm down.
Right.
You start to strip off all of that extra shiggity
unnecessary,
that you had,
yes.
Unnecessary stuff,
yes.
That you felt like you had to have. Then it's like the simplicity of life. Let me just have a bowl of beans and some hot water cornbread.
Oh, yes.
I am happy. I don't need filet mignon anymore.
Not today.
Not today.
Not today. Mm-hmm. Lots of vocal gymnastics going on in this, too. Can you do this work if you don't identify with it?
Well, I mean, with any new piece of music that you pick up to do, you first of all want to be able to vocally do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you want to look and see if this is something that you can vocally do. And then reading the poetry, letting it wash over you. Because we are singing actors. So anybody could sing this and put themselves into a character. Because I perform this very much in the characters that are being presented. The little girl, the ingenue.
The few videos I've seen,
yes.
You have a very lively performance.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's not just from the vocal gymnastics, mm-hmm. but your face, your whole body is
you have to get in it.
And it's exciting to watch. It is.
Yeah.
Nice. So I got to be honest with you. You definitely turned me on to something new, someone new, has me super excited to learn more of his works because there are several. So this was really special. You came
yeah.
up with a really good one.
Well, I just hope you all will enjoy the works of Richard Daniel Port. He's a fantastic composer. And Margaret Garner and A Woman's Life are just scratching the surface of what he has to offer.
So if it's a rabbit hole you choose to dive down, we wish you Godspeed. Have fun. Tell us all about it when you get back. I'm Joshua Thompson.
And I'm Angela Brown.
And this has been your melanated moment in classical music. Melanated Moments in Classical Music is a production of Classical Music Indy.
Our producer is Ezra Baker Truppiano. Our production intern is Abney Hart. Our theme music was composed by Laura Karpman. Melanated Moments in Classical Music is proud to partner with CAPA, the Coalition for African Americans in the Performing Arts, supporting Black classical musicians, opera singers, youth, and others in the performing arts by bringing color to the classics. Learn more at 4, that's the number 4, CAAPA.org. Classical Music Indie streaming and podcasting is made possible by the Alan Whitehill Clues Charitable Foundation. Melanated Moments in Classical Music is proud to partner with Morning Brown Incorporated, working to bridge the gap between accessible live music programs and underserved individuals, schools, and communities, where the offering of classical music is rare or the cost of experiencing classical music is prohibitive. Learn more at morningbrown.org.